great blessing to see what God is doing among you. It's really, you had a lot of messages today. You have a lot of lessons. Just the story that we heard about North Korea and the faith there, really uplifting and challenging in the same time for our faith. As a church, you are going through a time of transition. It's a journey of discerning God's will. But it's also a journey of listening and waiting. In that time, we can be also challenged to wait patiently for God until we find that God is actually leading us into a particular direction. This is what we call a church in the settlement process, but actually it is very unsettling, this process. It's a time when we can get so anxious to arrive. But individually, I am sure that you are also in a journey. There probably be things you are waiting for. The Lord has spoke to you about something. You may be waiting for healing or a provision of a work or a provision of a husband or a wife or a house or something. We are always in a journey of expecting something from God. And therefore, God's timing is an important topic to reflect on. You'll be great to know that I will only preach one verse today. It's the verse from chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, verse 1. And the rest, if you look, if you open your Bible, and so it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And the rest of the verses, verse 2 to 8, it goes on to compare time to be born, time to be to die, time to tear, time to build up, to mourn and to rejoice, and so on. Examples of life that gives us just understanding of verse 1. There is time for everything. If you continue reading a little bit, you will find verse 11, which is very important because it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. You really don't want to get something before its time. It could still be beneficial, but it's not as beautiful. Just try some apples or anything else you like to eat before it's cooked or ready. Things, good things in wrong time, they don't leave us happy. They make us feel like, I wish I just have it in the right time. And so we need to be very aware that God has a perfect time for everything. There is time for everything, and we need to be waiting patiently. Isaiah 30 and verse 18, it says something very important. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. I love the word longs. He's really eager to be gracious to you. And it says after that, blessed are all who wait for him. There is great blessing for waiting for God. Waiting can be a waste of time. We are in the generation that everything needs to be fast and quickly. Every single conversation I have with my teenager boys, we jump into Google and affirm our ideas by proof from the internet. Everything. We don't need to read books anymore. We have to get information close to us. Buses need to be in time. Everything needs to be in time. We are very much growing to be a generation that doesn't wait. If you're really not sure about that, switch the light off and wait for 2 minutes if you can. It will be very difficult. We have this idea that to be busy, it means you're successful. And waste time is when you wait for something and it's not there. I want to challenge us and encourage us today that there is a benefit of the waiting time, whether waiting for the next senior pastor or waiting for whatever God has for us individually. Waiting time is not a lost time. It's actually a time of faith. Let me see if I'm... Oh, it's in front of me. Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much. A time of faith. A time to get to know what type of faith we have. Can we wait for God? Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. God is saying to his people, I led you through the desert for 40 years. For what reason? A, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep my commandment. Or there is far more work can be happening in us during the waiting time. Do we really trust God? How do we know? Unless you have an exam, you don't really know how much you learned. Do we really desire God more than the next thing that we're waiting for, more than our desires? You see, in the waiting time, our test of patience, faith, and trust in God, as well as we get actually stronger. You know, getting things quickly, easy come, easy goes. We devalue things when they come quickly. There is a benefit of getting things in their time. Many examples in the Bible. Just looking into Abraham. Abraham, when he started to follow God, he was 75 years old. And God promised him, I will give you a son. You'll be a father of many nations. And he changed his name. He became the father of many nations. Don't call me Abraham anymore. Call me father of many nations. For 25 years, he made fool of himself by following God, because God waited 25 years until he received his first one, Isaac, the promise. When he first received Isaac, he was 100 years old. Well, that's quite a long time to wait. God can make a miracle. Why he needed to wait all that time? You see the big picture when you read Romans 4 and verse 20. What does it say? Abraham was strengthened in his faith, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Persuaded by whom? Oh, God persuaded him. He had to go through the time of doubts. And you find, as you read about Abraham, this word, but you did not give me a son. You know, keep asking God, why? Why do I need to wait? He was persuaded that God can do what he promised. Time actually made Abraham stronger. 25 years made him stronger in his faith. No matter how long we wait for God, we will be stronger if we continue to hold on to him. The same with Mary and Martha. Sometimes God does things we don't understand. Desperately need healing for their brother, sent to Jesus a word, and what we read is, A, he says, this sickness is not for death, it is for the glory of God, but he goes on and we read that he decided to stay two more days. John 11. It doesn't make sense at all. Sometimes waiting for God appears to be waste of time and exhausting. And we need to learn well that actually he is building up our faith. I assure you that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were happier that Lazarus died because he raised him again. Far better. He made everything beautiful in its time. If he came earlier, it will be just another healing. But now Lazarus, well known as someone being raised from the dead, an expression of what the Almighty can do, a sign of Christ's divinity. You see, sometimes God waits so he can make you a signpost for him. You just need to wait and trust him. It's not a waste time at all. It's a time of faith. The second thing I have for you, that waiting for God is a time of preparation. Oh, I'm doing the other way around. A time for preparation. You know, we always think we are ready. We always think that now is the right time because we very impatient generation. Used to, when I came to Egypt from, I came to London from Egypt, that's 1995, quite long time. I had to write a letter to my family, wait 2 weeks, and the letter will come back. And then we moved into phone line because now I could afford to call them for a couple of seconds. But later on, internet came, and we can send emails and come quickly. But now we can actually see each other and talk to one another. We are growing daily not to wait. We learned that things have to happen immediately. That actually, we need to be prepared for the right things to happen. As long as we think we are ready, we'll find preparing time. Preparation in general is a waste of time. Isaiah 46 and verse 10, it says, I make known the end from the beginning, God is saying. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. The point is, sometimes God tells us early. Many times God tells us early. He gives us his desires so that when he gave us what we need, we also have the same desire. But he also gave us his will so that we can be prepared. He works in us. I always knew what God wants to do in my life earlier. And it's frustrating because you wait for it. 4 years before I married my wife, the Lord told me that you will marry your wife in this country. I thought it is 6 months or something. And I spent 4 years praying. 5 years before I left from Egypt, the Lord said to me that he will take me out of Egypt. And I waited eagerly. I wanted quickly because I thought I'm ready. I'm ready now. I married, I was 28 years old. I actually wanted to marry when I was 24. I always thought I am ready. When I married, I knew that I was not ready. I always thought that I am well prepared. But God has a different plan. He sees that we need time of preparation. He sometimes will tell us early so that we can start be prepared mentally, emotionally, our hearts. We'll be ready for what he has for us. A story of Joseph specifically is a reminder of time of preparation. Because 13 years after a dream, finally the dream was fulfilled with a lot of pain. But when you look into that, Genesis 41, you see that he entered when he was 30. If you go to Genesis 37, you will find him a young man with 17 years old when he was looking after the sheep with his brothers. A lot of preparation took place. God prepared Joseph by sending him into Potiphar. This is one of high rank officers in the nation. That he was preparing him to be a prime minister of one of the largest empire in that time. It's not an easy thing to do. By the time he reached Pharaoh, he had to go to the prison and spent good time. And in the prison, he's actually spent 2 years he was not willing to spend. Because once he saw the dream and explained it for the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh, he told them, would you let Pharaoh know about me? I want to get out of here. He did not think that he is in the right place. But what a better place to be prepared, prison, is a fantastic place. If it is specifically under the palace of the largest empire and almost a royal prison, the cupbearer and the baker were there, not with the regular thieves. This is the royal people who will be put in prison. He get to know everything about how this nation runs in order to be able to lead it in the future. He would never have chosen this. You and I would never choose time of preparation. It's difficult. It's hard. But God knows what he's doing. 13 years of suffering, but also preparation. And the same with Moses. He thought he's ready with his zeal and decided to liberate his people with the wisdom of the Egyptians. And the wisdom of the Egyptians is the sword in his hand. So he killed an Egyptian. It's a bad idea. Egyptians are protected by God, you know. I am one of them. So God sent him 40 years to look after the sheep to get Egypt out of him in order to send him back to Egypt. It didn't make any sense to us when you read about Moses in Acts 7 and verse 22. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. He's actually the best person to deliver the people right in the time when he left Egypt. He knew how to do the political game. He was prepared right in. But there's something about leading God's people that Moses did not get yet, is how to look after sheep, how to be soft and patient to look after God's people. The wisdom of the Egyptians is dangerous. So he had to send to him for 40 years, to the point that when he met God, he told him, I'm not good in speech anymore. I can't speak. Send someone else. He felt very inadequate. Welcome to the club. When you are so inadequate, you are right ready for what God has for you. The point is, never be frustrated with God's timing, because he's working in you. But there is something more you might not be aware of. In Exodus 4 and verse 19, we read that God said to Moses, go back from Midian, go back to Egypt, because the men who want to kill you are dead. If God is not working in you, he's working out there, preparing you and preparing what he has for you. By the way, by the time I arrived in London, my wife was not in London yet. She's Dutch. She came 2 years after me. He prepared me for 4 years, but also he brought my wife from there. It was crazy. I don't know why she came here, because she needed to finish her education there. And she wanted to go back after a year, but God kept her here. God will be working in and out there for you. Never undermine the time of preparation. So wait for God patiently. The last thing I want to share with you is that actually it's also a time of fruitfulness. You see, the sad thing is that we end up always asking when we're supposed to ask what. We're asking when this will happen, when my healing will take place, when my work opportunity will come, when our pastor will be in place. And we overlook that actually there is what we need to do now, what God has for this time of waiting and preparation. In Acts 1 and verse 6, the disciples ask Jesus something very important. When, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, this is a very critical time. They're not going to see him soon. They ask him when. They are eager to know when. And what did Jesus say? He told them, it's not for you to know the time. And he should have stopped there. But he continued. He said to them, that actually is not for you to know the time and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but what is for you, but you, for you, is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses. That's what you need to do now. Don't worry about the timing. He's looking after that. Your responsibility is to ask yourself, what do I need to do now? What God wants me to do right now? Because there is a lot of things to be done. God wants to use you. You need to be fruitful in the waiting time. You should get busy in the waiting time, not counting the hours or the month, but actually getting so busy with the opportunity of the waiting time, because there will be a time when this waiting time is no longer and the opportunities here are not available anymore. The subject of the end time is always something that brings a lot of reflection to people. Specifically when you hear everything happening in the world, you know, a war after a war, a crisis after crisis. And many people spend their time thinking, oh, reading the signs. See, we're getting closer. When I was 17 years old, the senior people of my church in Egypt were debating that Jesus is coming within 3 years. It seems like the older we get, we feel that Jesus is coming. And it is true, because we're going to meet him soon. But there is a tendency to overlook what he has for us now and think of his work, knowing the right time. Why do we need to worry about the coming? Second coming. He's coming, he promised. And even in 2 Peter 3, he said something very important, Peter said. That some people, scoffers, will come and say, where is this coming? He promised. Since the beginning of everything, all things the same. Nothing changed. And in verse 8 from 2 Peter 3, the advice is not to forget about this one important thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. It doesn't say exactly. So those who love to count and work it out when the earth will be 7,000 years is like. It just says that God works in a different calendar than us. You cannot know simply. But what matters is not that. To remember, verse 9, that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He said he will provide, he will provide. In fact, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Actually, God taking time for our benefit. It's wonderful that he is not here, because there is still many people need to get to know him. Imagine if he came 60 years earlier. You know, you yourself might not be here. It's wonderful to trust God with time and be fruitful and patiently waiting for him by doing what he has for us. You are in a temporary situation as a church, and I'm sure as individual in many different scenarios. Well, there is many temporary assignments. In this time, there is a lot of fruit to gather and there's a lot of work to do. The best way to wait for God is to actively wait in for God. You're not just sitting. You discover that he has an assignment for you. And time flies when people are actively waiting. You don't even feel it because you trust him more than anything else. I'm going to end with this verse as a great reminder of the impact and the fruit of the waiting time. Genesis 39 and verse 5 and verse 23. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. That's when he was in the house of Potiphar. And then when he moved into the prison, we read, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. He did a lot of things in the prison. He did a lot of things in the house of the Egyptian. The thing is, he was very much blessed in the now time as he was waiting for that time to come. And when he arrived there, he was ready for what God has prepared him for. I don't know about your personal life, but I wonder, how is your patience with God? Are you patient enough with God? Are we trusting him enough? And as a church, with the time tell that we are fully in trust with God. There is churches during transition time, they grow. They grow because they discover that God's given them a greater responsibility to take up captive for every opportunity they have. And there is a church who stands still waiting. I continue to pray that God will continue to multiply you. That when the new minister will come in place, when take the post, will find a church that is mushrooming with fruit. And when God provides what you need personally, I pray that he will give you what you need, but you gain more strength and fruit during this time. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that you are faithful and you promise to be with us and never leave us. And thank you also that your promises are yes and amen. Thank you that you will never deny yourself. You will always prove yourself faithful to us. Lord, in all circumstances, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that we will be those who grow in faith as we wait for you. That, Lord, we will be those who allow you to work in us and through us. So that you can do what you want in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.